Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Uplifted Communities Talk Show. And today we're presenting Bob Buss. And Bob Buss is the founder of Bob Buss is Miss Phyllis Feltz, and the CCO is Miss Earlene Gray. And today they have a really good guest. Her name is Miss LaVeecha Jones. LaVeecha, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, LaVeecha.
Okay, LaVeecha Jones. But before I go any further, I'm going to turn it over to Miss Phyllis. Okay, she's the founder of Bob Buss. So go ahead on, Miss Phyllis.
Well, thank you, Mr. Brown, and thank you for everyone who has tuned in. As he said, my name is Phyllis, and I'm the founder of Bob Buss, which is Build Our Businesses, and this is the Build Our Businesses radio segment. So I am so excited that we now have a vehicle so that we can let everybody know what we're doing in the community and how you can get in touch with us, which is www.bobsbus.org. Now, we have a wonderful guest, but before I introduce her to you, I have to let you know a little bit about our CCO. This is Miss Earlene Gray. She is the one that makes it happen. She is the wind behind the bus. She is our social media butterfly. If you're listening in, it was probably because you know her. She's such a powerhouse in Sacramento. She's has her hands in so many different things, uplifting the community. So without further ado, please, everybody, welcome Ms. Earlene Gray to our show, to her show as well.
Yes, yes. Hello, everyone, and thank you so much, Ms. Post, for that amazing introduction. I'm so happy and excited to be here. I am Chief Communications Officer of Build Our Businesses, and I'm so excited to have to be on this radio and be able to help people and hear about their businesses and what it is that they're doing in the community. So I'm excited. Let's go.
Well, thank you for that. And we have a very special guest, Miss LaVeecha Jones. Everybody get ready to hear some great and exciting news. I'm so proud of this lady. I cannot wait to see where her journey takes her. Miss LaVeecha Jones, please introduce yourself and say hello to all of our listeners.
Well, hello. Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for just having me on your show. Thank you guys for who's all supporting me. And just want to listen to my story of why I want to make a change in our community. I want to thank Mr. Brown for giving us this platform to even introduce this not only to me, but giving me the opportunity to speak my story on his show. And having the great connections with Earlene Gray and Phyllis Feltz. If it wasn't for Earlene Gray, I would not know Phyllis Feltz. And so I'm so thankful for you guys for even reaching out to me, asking me, I'm honored. I am so honored and blessed that you guys reached out to me and asked me, could I be your first guest speaker on your show? So thank you very much.
Yes.
Oh, welcome. So, Ms. LaVeecha, can you share with the audience what it is that you do? I know you're doing a lot, but I want you to announce so that everybody can understand exactly what you're doing in the community.
Absolutely. Thank you. So, just recently, I announced my candidacy for Stockton Unified School District Board of Trustees District 3. And for all of those who know districts or don't know, District 3 actually takes care of Franklin High School, Elmwood, Fillmore, Healthcare Academy, Henry, King, Pittman, and Roosevelt. So that's District 3 that I'm running for. And, of course, I'm going to be collaborating with all the other districts within the Stockton Unified School District so we can bring more opportunities to our community and our youth. That's our focus, youth.
So what made you decide to go on this venture?
Honestly, I've been involved in the community ever since I had children, and it's been a journey for me. And because I raised my kids in Stockton, California, it was very important that they learn great values in Stockton and also be able to give back to their community. I want them to be able to give back. So ever since I had started having kids, I realized how important it was for me to give back. So I got very involved, even working full time. I got very involved in their school activities, in their sport activities, in their community activities, and make sure that they connect with different people from their area so they can see examples of people from their area.
Now, I love that, because I actually had to do the same thing with my daughter. And the one thing that I loved about it was that, yes, I was to be able to be involved. I was the PTA president for most of her scholastic career to all of her schools. But I noticed that those who are not involved in the school and in the community, their children don't get the same type of attention. Did you find that in your district in Chicago County? Is that the reason why?
Absolutely.
That's what I thought.
Absolutely. One of the things that I noticed, we do need to make a change. And one of my good quotes that a friend had given me that struck me was, "Be the change you want to see," when she found out that I wanted to run for SUSD. And she's a longtime friend who's seen me and my kids grow up in so many different programs and different organizations out there that are strictly geared for the youth here in Stockton. You know, and so she said, "Well, yeah, you've been doing it, so be the change you want to see." And so, yes, you definitely, you know, the more you get involved in your community, the more you get involved in your children, the more you know who your children's teachers are, who their coaches are, who they're getting tutored by, the better your children will be. And there are programs out there that teaches our kids, you know, that helps us as parents and also help our children. One of the things that I've noticed, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying right on. I'm loving it.
Thank you. One of the things I've noticed by going through the different programs and organizations that I have attached myself to, because right now I have a 23-year-old and an 18-year-old, so I've been involved for 23 years just servicing my community. And one of the things that I have loved was, I've learned a lot from the children, from the youth, and not only just the organization, but the organization gave us the foundation to teach our youth so our youth can teach the younger youth.
I love it.
Wow. I have a question. One thing I do know, we've worked on many projects together, Ms. Jones, and I do appreciate your passion. And from the first time I met you, your biggest thing was, "I love children." And seeing how your city is and the direction that it was going in, I love the fact that you wanted to do something different and change the narrative. And like you stated, get involved and do something and be the change that you wanted to see. I think that's very important, and that speaks a lot about how you care about your city and how you want to make a change. So what is it that you plan to do that is different than what anyone else has done or tried to do? How are you going to make an impact?
Great question, Erlene. Thank you. Well, like I said, the youth has taught me over the years. And what I've learned is that it's just like anything in life, even with our own kids, we get parent death to our own parents. And what that means is that we stop listening to them. We're raising a generation today, a new era with the old system. And they're not listening to us anymore as adults. But who are our kids with most of the time? They're with their teachers. They're with their coaches. They're with their peers. They're with leadership that they have attached to, or that leadership that has attached to them and mentored them. And those are the type of programs that I had kept my kids involved in. And so I think and believe that if we start bringing our programs back into our schools, like entrepreneurship programs, ethnic studies, fashion design. Now, don't call it economics. Can't call it fashion design. These are this is language that our kids are learning and watching and today. This is what they're mimicking today. Financing, culinary. It's not just cooking school. It's culinary school. So if we bring programs into these, bring those type of programs into our community, that will our kids will listen to their own peers faster, better than what they will listen to their teachers. You know, and I'm not taking anything away from teachers. What I'm saying is that it needs to be leadership to leadership, peer to peer training, mentoring, coaching, because it's the youth. It's the youth that is our future. Our kids are no longer doing, you know, or the old saying when I grew up was do as I say, not as I do. Well, the kids are not a little bit smarter than that now. They're doing as they do, not as you say. And majority of our working class parents are at work. So they're listening and watching and doing and mimicking what we left them with, which is our teachers and our, you know, and our coaches and so forth, depending on where you know what type of programs you put your kids into. And so I think that if we uplift our youth, our older youth, like our college kids, you know, are bringing in more STEM programs into our schools, bringing more AVID into all of our schools, IB courses into all our schools, but have our youth, our older youth that's into leadership programs, teaching and training and coaching our younger youth. Also, let's employ our older youth. Why are we, you know, when it comes to the summer youth program, I've been in so many different organizations where these organizations will employ our summer youth kids, but it's only a few selected that get it. Why can't we use these programs to employ our kids who want a job, you know, who want a job, not these kids who just they're getting discriminated because, okay, you're on a certain type of program, so you can have a job. I've seen so many kids not even appreciate that. But those who do want a job, they can't even get a job because their parents work. Why? They want money in their pocket the right way also. So there's a lot of programs. I'm sure there is so much more. It's so much more out there that can be implemented in our communities and strengthen our communities and strengthen our youth. That we're not utilizing. We're not utilizing everything that's out there. And I believe that if we band together, if we work together, if the board listen to the parents, listen to the teachers, listen to our administration and our students, we will be able to work collectively and make sure that we have a stronger community.
Wow. I so love that. I think it's very important also, you know, you really have all your ducks in a row. So in terms of campaigning, how are you planning on going about doing that? What exactly do you need to get the ball rolling so we can make sure that the vote goes to you?
Oh, wow. I think promoting me, listening to me, I'm going to be out there in the community talking to our teachers, talking to our community leaders and seeing what it is that they want, because it's not what I want. It's what the community needs. And I think that's very important that us as board members need to keep that in mind. It's not what we want or what we think. It's what the community needs for that area. And so
right.
As long as we're collaborating with each other and understanding what it is that our community needs, I think we will have you know, up and coming leaders. We gotta make our schools to where children want to come to school.
They're
bored. You know, everybody learns different. That's why I said we can't keep using the old system to train this new era of children that's coming up. You know, everyone learns different, and they go ahead. Mr. Brown.
No, go ahead, Ms. Jones. I wanted to say something after you say something. Something came to my mind.
Okay, I'm going to say this one little thing. Okay, all right, awesome. I love it. This fires me up because it's telling me that I'm firing you up and you got input,
yes.
And I want to hear that. But
that's right.
Train of thought, lost it. I'm fired up. I love it. But teaching our kids go ahead.
I'm sorry, Ms. Jones. I didn't mean to fire you up like that. God, no. You fired up now. I might not be able to get a word in.
You don't understand. I love my community. I love my community. I love Stockton.
Yeah.
I'm a Stocktonian. I've been born and raised here. There are some deep roots here in Stockton, and I believe we can be that community, that is the example community.
Well, I'm going to throw some jewels at you, okay? I was president for the school site council. I ran for president at a school in Oakland, California called Dewey High School. It was a continuation school. And I ran for president, and I won.
Wow.
And so I got a chance to go to meetings with the school superintendent in Oakland and things of that nature and all these, principals and stuff. We're around the table, and we talking. And I've learned something. What you were saying about that you're trying to bring certain things back into the school, and that's great. But one thing I learned from these people, they did it. They was doing their thing. And if they wanted something on the curriculum, like you were talking about woodwork or cooking or whatever, they wanted something on their curriculum, what they did, they went on and did an assessment and found out how much it would cost to hire a couple of teachers to do that. And then they would go ahead on and do that fundraising. They would do the fundraising. They would raise the money. I hadn't seen them. Now, I'm not just telling you that. I hadn't seen them raise $75,000 to pay, for that school, to add on something to their curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen this with my eyes. Nobody told me this. And this is a good thing. I like what you're doing because we need that. We need more of that, in a community. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, if you just listen to me, take it. And I'm telling you, you can get whatever you want in these schools, but you have to get people.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, and you can get that. And you can go ahead on and raise the money for that year. And who knows, if it's good, you might get funded through the school, whenever they get their grants and stuff for the school. You got
I just have a quick question, Mr. Brown. You stated that you seen them get a lot of funding. How much of that funding actually really goes to these schools? Because I know a lot of schools who do funding, and they get this money, and you don't see anything better within their school. So how do you guarantee that they'll even get the money that is being raised for these schools?
Well, they get the money. The schools definitely get the money. Let's say if you raise $75,000 to hire a teacher for this semester or whatever, for this school year. You raise those, so that's what they're going to charge. Well, everything that you raise going to go to the school district, and the school district going to make sure that everything is taken care of.
Let me piggyback off of that. In my experience or in my time frame of being involved in school districts and so forth, what I have done and what I have seen is I sat on school site council board. I kept president of the PTSA at a high school, membership coordinator. So I've moved myself around so I can learn a bit of everything in the school. I don't know everything, but I know enough to be dangerous. Let's say that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to rally up a team around you to make things happen, if you understand that. So the school has funding, if parents will get involved, go to these school board meetings, go to these school site council meetings, go get involved in PTSA and PLTI, get involved in these different programs with their children. You don't always have to be in the classroom. You could be in the administrative part, and they're only asked maybe 3 to 5 hours of your time once a month. If you get involved and know where they have funding, if you get involved, it's the parents and the teachers and the counselors and the administrators that tell the board what they want.
That's right.
So if parents go ahead, if the power is in the people, it's not in the board. The power is in the people. Your vote matters. If you make it be known that this is what you want for your child and for your student, for that community, it has to happen. What happens is we don't get involved. Then they go ahead and make a vote on what was on the table or whatever, and then you're mad at the results of it. It's the same thing as in politics, people. Your child matters, so you should be involved because your child matters. And what they put in the curriculum, what they put in your school, what type of let's say that you got too many principals at your school and don't have a library. It's the power of the people say, we don't need another principal. We want a library. I've seen it happen.
That's right.
It's the power of the people.
I have another question. So if that is a youth concern, how do you get the parents involved? How do you talk to their hearts to let them understand? Because this is an ongoing thing. This is not something that just happened. You know, especially in urban schools, how do you talk to the parents to get them to understand the importance of being involved in their children's school and to be a part of what they're doing so they can make sure that the curriculum and everything else that they need will be met, their needs will be met for their children? How do you do that?
Okay. You know, I'm going to tell you how, because this is how I got involved. I didn't get my resources of all the organizations that I got into. I didn't get my resources from the school. The school got so much going on and taking care of so many other things, they forget to tell you about the different programs that are out there. It's up to the parents, the board, the PTSA, to get that information out to the parents of what's going on. That's my belief. Because my connection, because I wanted to be involved, I was honored and blessed to have so many connections in every part of Stockton. And that's how I learned about the different programs that were out there for my school. And that's how I learned about out there for my children. And my first thing would be, why isn't this in the school? You know, why don't the schools know about this? Why doesn't parents know about this? It's because we're not reaching out to these different organizations to let them know, hey, I'm here. These are the programs that I have with proven data that it has improved a student or improved that youth or improved that group. So I think if we have to, as a community, we have to go out there and do it. And I think we're at a time right now where we're looking for change, where we're willing to go out there and make change. We're at that presidential time right now.
You know, if
no,
I can
I would
just
like,
step in really quickly. If I could just step in really quickly, because I have to just kind of counteract a little bit, because being the PTSA president for years, I did reach out. Mm-hmm. We sent flyers. Mm-hmm. We had fundraisers. We had events. We would have assemblies. Mm-hmm. I would be in the local newspaper, the pocket newspaper all the time. I would actually go and put flyers in doors. Well, I had the kids put flyers in doors. We would have the teachers speak to the kids at class. We was always inviting them, and I guarantee it, maybe five would show up. It's always
I
want
to say something on this here too. What I did as president of the school site council, when it was time for report cards, well, we held back and we sent notices to each one of the to the because Dewey High School was you know, it was small school. So we sent notices to the parents and tell them that they needed to come on report card days, you know, for them. And the majority of them would come. And then we had a chance, once they come, sometime we'll have the cafeteria be full. And then when they would come.
With parents?
And,
Was it parents?
And then when they would come, well, then that's when we did a presentation on certain things that we need. You know, that's what we did. But they, you know, and that was a really good, you know, way of doing it. And, you know, I just came up with it to the principal and told him, said, well, let's hold a report card. You know, send out notices that the parents need to be there for report card night. You know, so, and that's what we did.
So that's a success story. And, you know, and I can name quite a few different success stories myself. You know, like I mentioned about the library versus over the another assistant principal at a middle, or excuse me, at an elementary school. Because of the power of the parents saying, no, we want a library, they got the library. You know, when your school is getting ready to hire a new principal or a new teacher in your department, you as a parent can sit on that hiring board. I bet you a lot of parents don't even know that. They're supposed to have a parent, a student, and a teacher and so forth, an administrator. But the thing of it is, the key word is there, a parent.
Right.
So you are. Right. So there's ways you got to get involved. Yes, you're not going to win everybody. I totally agree. I totally agree with that. But you can one school, one district, one county at a time. You can win, and I do believe that in my heart. I even me being president of the PTSA. We did a lot of things like appreciating the parents, and I'm not saying this your organization did not do that. You know, putting on a pancake breakfast, appreciating the parents for even donating their little time. Everybody wants some type of appreciation, whether they say they do or they don't. But once you start appreciating parents, and not only just giving them a rundown of what it is that you can do, but offering those programs. Did you know that you could go into this program and learn how to pass laws? And do you know why don't we understand our constitutional rights? Important programs that make a parent say, yeah, why? Why don't I know this? Yes, I do need to. I do need this information. You know, I can say like one of my clubs that are not organizations that I connected myself to was called the First 50 Club. What it did was got all the at youth risk children and put them all together, and they learned about laws, legislative. They learned how to pass bills. They learned. They went up to the state capitol and got a chance to meet the see all that transpire, and then implement. Then they implement different things in the community that they had to get approval for, so they can walk through those steps of learning how to do that. And so what happened was we got more kids involved, right? And now our older kids that are, we consider the smart kids and not the at-risk kids, we're teaching our at-risk kids to make them want to do more in their community. And I want to say successfully, all at-risk youth that was in that program successfully graduated that year. And so that's a program that, can be implemented. And then there needs to be checks and balances. I'm so number one with checks and balances. There needs to be checks and balances to make sure that, funds are going where it is supposed to be going, that somebody is overseeing it, and that there is follow-up. Follow-up.
Yes.
To ensure that those ones who left the program is continue to do and strive for better and do more. I got into another organization called ABS Tutoring, where she literally took these kids and bought them. By the time they got in her program, they were in grade level or above grade level, and she didn't just stop there. She has proven data. She didn't stop there. She actually went into the school and that, did her balance, checks and balances with these students to continue to keep them up there. But what happens to these different organizations? Funding. They lose out on funding. they lose out on their limited spaces. They can't find a place to continue the program. And, you know, and so that's what happens when these good programs are not being sustained. You know, so why do I say that? Because another number one thing that we need in our school is finance. Did you guys know that California do not even have a financing curriculum? It's not required to be in the curriculum. Why? Why is it not a requirement? It should be a requirement that our kids know finances.
Yes,
that's true.
Right.
Well, I have to interject, and
that
I have
will,
to
that right
let
there
the
alone,
audience know.
That right there. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I have to interject. I got to let the audience know that you're listening at Uplifting Communities Talk Show, presenting Bob Buss, and our special guest is Miss LaVecia Jones, and she's the candidate for Stockton Unified School District number 3. And if you guys want to ask a question or just want to elaborate on something, please press 1, and we will let you in. Go ahead on, Ms. Jones. I'm sorry about that.
No problem. Thank you so much, Mr. Brown. You know, I believe just starting off with teaching finances within our youth, that will teach, you know, when they get a job, they're going to understand taxes. They're going to understand the power of saving. They're going to understand the power of how their money grows. They're going to understand these things to help them in the future for their community, for their city, for their finances and pockets. And, you know, and if you can look it up, which states in the United States require curriculum, finance as a curriculum in their curriculum, require finance in their curriculum. And it's only 5 states in the United States. Let us be number 6. Let us be
yes.
number 6.
All right. Well, we got a caller. Want to either elaborate on something or ask a question. Y'all want to let them in?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Caller, state your name.
Hello.
And where you calling
Hello.
From.
Hey, this is Patrick calling from Toronto. How are you?
From where?
Hello, Patrick.
Hi. Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes,
we can.
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, Patrick. Welcome.
Thank you. I think it's a great thing. That's a great topic that you guys are discussing tonight. And I agree with, you know, getting changing the curriculum in our schools. If we can somehow get control of our schools, changing
mm-hmm.
the curriculum to include things like finance, economics, entrepreneurship, you know, how to start a business, what is a business type of thing. And
mm-hmm.
those are so key because I'm in
mm-hmm.
technology and
yeah.
I see a lot, there are a lot of courses in the curriculum that I already know that are going to be obsolete
yeah.
in
mm-hmm.
10, 15 years. So in some ways, we're leading the kids down a dead-end street.
Mm-hmm.
With some,
all
with,
ways
some,
to
with
take care of this new era.
Right.
So I think finance is a key one, you know, especially
yes.
in places where there's a lot of poverty, because as Amos Wilson said, if education doesn't work to solve your problems, your specific problems where you live, then it's pointless. So
yeah.
if you have poverty, of course you should be learning about money, you should be learning about finance.
Mm.
You know,
yes.
you should be learning about investing, you know, and that type of thing. You know, there was somebody who was talking about teaching our children about, you know, investing and option trading and that kind of thing. This person who is a former entertainer, he turned $1,700 from last September. He got on the radio. He took $1,700 and he recorded his trade and his options trading, and he's turned that into $26,000 today. He said he was going to no. He was up in the 30s and then he lost a little bit, so he's like $28,000 in. And he said he's going to turn that into $100,000 and then that turned that into $1,000,000. So he's trying to tell people that there are other ways to look at money and to look at investing. And, you know, there's a lot of things to learn. And me personally, if there's any child that is learning that kind of stuff, I mean, I personally will give $500 to their investment account so they can get started. But, you know.
There you go.
Yeah. So I'm with you in this, and I think it's so important. And, I kind of hats off to you ladies, because you're actually trying to do something as opposed to everyone just talking, you know. I'm tired of talk.
Thank you. Be the change you want to see. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you chiming in and saying that. That's absolutely right. You know, and besides financing, you know, even ethnic studies, we should have a choice of what a history we want to study. Okay, that employs more of our teachers. Okay. What about different languages? Sign language, we have to communicate with the deaf. Why don't we have sign language as a curriculum? Why can't that be an option? There's different languages, you know, that we should have a choice and option to pick and choose. Again, you're teaching an old method to a new era, and it's not going to work.
That's right.
Right.
That's
no,
right.
And it's not, and you have to change the narrative.
You got to change the narrative. You're right.
Absolutely.
And as far as history is concerned, I think we have to teach it, but we have to make it relevant for the younger people.
Yes.
Because they're hearing a lot, but they're not seeing a lot. So, you know, so to them it's just chatter. It's like, okay, whatever, right? And we're losing them on that. We have to make it relevant today. So we have to tell them about history, but we said this is how that history impacts us today, and this is how you can use this information to move forward today and give some prime examples of how to do that. You know, because I think, you know, by telling him, I remember one time I was volunteering. I was living in D.C., and I was volunteering in at-risk youth. And there was a person in there talking about how we used to be kings and queens and all that. And this one guy said, this one young man said, man, I live in the project. I don't see no kings and queens. What are you talking about? Right? Like, you know what I mean? So we can't pull the wool over their eyes with a lot of fluff. They're not right. We got to show some prime examples. And we have to show them some successes and some wins, and you know, and put that out front, because they'll listen to. If you have an example, a real world example, if you have something to show, they'll look and they'll analyze. But if you don't have anything to show and it's just talk, I think even the young people are growing tired of.
Exactly, and that's what I mean by it. This generation today, I'm so sorry, but this generation today is saying, I'm not doing what you say, I'm doing what you're doing. And so if we're not showing them the right way, showing them proper leadership skills, showing them, you know, and granted, I know I'm going to hit everyone telling me, it starts from the home. You're right. So that's the old way. Now our kids are learning from our teachers, their peers, their coaches, the people that they're around the most.
Because we
work so hard, and you know, I get it. I've been there in every step. I know you're a single mom. I know you're a single dad. I understand that. I've been around every last one of you in some type of direct or indirect way. I understand that. But if that's going to be your excuse, also understand that you're not the center of influence of your kids anymore. And so you have to put trust into those that you're sending your the leaders that you're sending your kids to, the babysitters, the schools, the all day sporting events and stuff like that. You're gonna have to, you know, put your trust into them, and that they're gonna be leading your children and understand that either what you put in front of them or what you don't put in front of them, they're going to learn of, you know, what's in front of them, either way.
No, Ms. Lavicia Jones, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
What you think is the biggest problem in our community, in the African-American community, or the poor community, or disadvantaged community? What you think? What you
Thank you. And it's really the disadvantaged community that, and what I'm seeing is that we're not getting the equal resources, the equal education, the same funding, and that all of that other schools are getting. That's what I think is one of the problems. Not all the problems. That's one of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we should be. We need to be diversified. Our children need to see people like them teaching them and learning them, or teaching them and training them and coaching them and mentoring them. They need to see people like them. Another so that's just another issue.
That's a big
issue. I think
big
another.
Also.
Yes, that's huge, and I just think that we need to be able to. We need more parents need to raise their voice a little bit. Man, and actually, that should have been number one on my list. That should have been number one on my list. Accountability. We need checks and balances on everything that is going on within our schools that is for our youth. That's number one. Number one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
I have a question. How can we... In Stockton, how can we gain more control over the schools? Is it creating more charter schools? Is it creating taking over public schools somehow? I mean, I know each state is different, and the municipalities have their own rules on how they run things. But I'm looking at a lot
right.
of failures. There's some successes, like the Harlem Children's Zone and the Harlem Charter Schools that are doing great things and are very successful, and some schools like in L.A. and you know, with Marcus Garvey School and all that. What's the biggest challenge to starting those schools?
I'm going to say this because it's been a lot of controversial talk about the charter schools versus the public schools. And I do believe in the power of choice. I believe parents should have the right to take their children where they want to take their children. I will be a hypocrite if I sit up here and say, you know, my child, charter school is not good, and, I don't care, because my kids grew up in a charter school. They started in charter school from kindergarten all the way up to the sixth grade for the youngest and eighth grade for my oldest. And what I noticed for myself is when once my kids got into public school, their education, I'm going to say for myself, and I've always been involved, it didn't make a difference what school they went to. What made a difference is was they happy at that school in their education. So that's why I said it's a big controversy. I'm running for Stockton Unified School District, and I believe in the Stockton Unified School District, it's because I had both ends of the stick. I have the benefit of and blessed to be in charter school, and I have the benefit and was blessed to be in Stockton Unified School District. And as far as my kids' education level, it did not make a difference. What made a difference is how they feel and was they comfortable at that school. That's what made them thrive.
Wow.
Okay, they have another caller. Let's see. Y'all want to let them in?
Sure.
Let
him
in.
Absolutely.
We
got about 15 minutes.
Caller, state your name before you call us from. Some reason they dropped. They'll be calling back.
But one thing about it, Lavicia, I think the biggest thing, the biggest hurdle that you're going to face is getting these parents and holding them accountable and getting them to care.
I think we've become so complacent, and due to the COVID, everyone's in their homes and they're cozy, and, you know, they have all these other life journeys that's going on right now, and loss of jobs, and, you know, kids are not in school, you know, all these other areas. I think how to get to these those parents. I mean, are you planning on going door to door? How exactly do you plan on campaigning with all this COVID? And then also we have this flu coming out. So what direction are you going to take your campaign?
Absolutely. Very good question, Arlene.
I know, I got you.
because of all this, we have been, our focus has been switched or has been changed. And just like in business, we say we don't panic, we just pivot. And that's what we have done. Everything that you wanted to implement and move forward with and push through the schools in person, we can actually do that on Zoom through technology. And that's the benefit of technology. We're able to pivot to make, you know, to still get the job done. So as far as my campaigning, I'm going to be doing, coming up on other radio shows, talking to parents in the community and teachers. I still can reach out to our teachers' unions. I can still reach out to anybody. I still have the same access that I have in person. I have the same access through computer. And that's my plan,
right,
is to fully utilize technology.
Okay,
yes.
Well, we have to call it. They call back. Let's let them in, okay?
Yes, yeah, come on in.
Okay, I'm so sorry about that.
State your name and where you're calling from. State your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Max West. I am calling from Sacramento. My question is, with a lot of parents are social distancing right now, and this is probably going to go into the next school year. How are you going to support parents who may have to do this, and how are you going to assist with the current infrastructure where a lot of parents are challenged with having the technology to assist their children with that social distance learning?
It's very good question. And I'm going to give you what my opinion is, but this is not something that I'm going to, you know, that I'm, oh, this is what I'm going to, you know, implement in my campaign or, you know, this is not set in stone. So my plan and what I think needs to happen is we need to hear from the teachers, the students, and the parents. We need to, and our administrators, what is it? Because we've already, Stockton Unified School District has already decided we're doing learning from home, okay? Now what we need to do is figure out how is that going to work, you know, for our parents who are still working. Even for, because the biggest concern here now is, even if we do this, what about our children that already is struggling? How are we going to engage them? I don't have an answer to that, but the plan is, let's come up with together a plan so we know that it's going to work for our community and our kids. I want to hear from the parents. I want to hear from the teachers. I want to hear from the students in our administration, so we can come up with a plan to make it work. If we have to extra teachers to have our children who are struggling a little bit into a different Zoom conference room or whatever, then that's what we have to do. But we do have to do something to make it work. And so that's the plan, is to speak to – I'm not in the classroom, you understand? Parents are not in the classroom. We need to see what the teachers and the parents want and how is it going to work for them, because they are scared, too, for their life. They have children at home also. So we have to think about that, too. So so the plan is, like I said, it doesn't matter what I feel and how I think. It matters what the people think, and because the people are the one who has the power to make change.
Well, you had mentioned that you had your children in charter schools and things like that. Those schools statistically and historically have had more opportunities to have more classroom equipment, computer technology, and things of that nature, whereas public schools were often lacking that. That was the reason for my question, because now with especially the social distancing in the Black communities, the children are lacking those laptops, those computers, those Wi-Fi hotspots and things of those natures to actually complete their work. So that was the reason for my question.
Uh-huh. And, okay, so my answer to that is the reason why I believe, because, again, I'm speaking on experience, that the charter schools that my kids went to succeeded is because, number one, smaller classrooms. Number one, okay? Number two is that we got to sign a form saying that we are made to volunteer our time in that school. I can't remember how many hours, but it was like part of the curriculum. And so I think just that too right there is what made those schools that my kids went to successful. So how does that look in the Stockton Unified School District? Well, maybe we need to hire more teachers and have smaller Zoom classes. I don't know. I don't have the answer, but let's put that on the table.
But, you know, I understand what you're saying, Ms. LaVicia Jones. I mean, you hit a dead on the nose, you know, like when you was talking earlier, us as parents, us as people in the community, we have to start supporting the school system. We have to start, we have to, and, you know, to start, you know, going to meetings, PTA meetings, council meetings, going to the school board. And a big other thing, too, is start going to some of the city council meetings, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start, you know, getting involved in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I am so glad you running for, you know, for district, you know, for the Unified School District, District 3.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you're running for that, to be a leader. And anything that my talk show can do for you, Uplifting Communities Talk Show, you know, can do for you, you can contact Miss Earlene or Miss Phyllis. You know,
Phyllis,
anything that we can do, I'm backing you up 100%.
Thank you so much, Mr. Brown. That means a lot coming from you. Thank you.
I have a suggestion. one of the
this
ways.
This is not Confess Radio. No.
I have a suggestion. Maybe it's good when you go out to the community and you try to spark conversation about this. Sometimes it's good to have options for people to help start the conversation. So if you're talking about a specific issue and you want parents to kind of chime in, maybe you give them two or three options to get the discussion started. And it'll make it easier for them to chime in, because sometimes when there's a blank place and you're talking to parents, sometimes they can't, like, really give you what their thoughts are without some options. And then they can say, oh, yeah, I like not that, not number one and three, but number two, that's more on the button. So it's just a suggestion. It helps jumpstart a conversation with a wider community when there's some options.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Absolutely, because that gives parents confident that you have really thought this out. And like I said at the beginning of the show, it's better to have options than no options at all. And so absolutely, you are correct.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You are correct.
Well, everybody, we only got about 6 minutes before we end the show. So I'm going to ask Ms. Phyllis if she can start closing us out. And remember that we always, you know, the final, we always close out with a prayer, too, at the end.
Thank you. Thank you. I love that. Well, I really want to say thank you so much, Ms. LaVicia. You gave us a lot of good information to feed on, and you have our support. But I also would like to remind the listeners that this is Build Our Business, and that's the opportunity for small businesses to be able to receive grants and loans. With membership comes a lot of different benefits, such as building your website, graphic design, tax ID, lawyer, financial education, everything that you need so that you can build your strong business. And once you're able to do that, then you're uplifting the community, because then we can hire those youth that Ms. LaVisha is going to make sure are well educated. Then I'd like to
love it.
Right? Isn't that how it goes? Or it should be.
I love it.
Business. Yes. And so, Mr. Olin, did you have any closing thoughts?
Yes, I actually did. I just want to thank Mr. John L. Brown for putting all this together, and Ms. LaVisha Jones for just going out there and doing what her heart tells her to do, and guiding where God is guiding her and leading her, and being a blessing to her community as well as her people. So I appreciate her 100%. I also appreciate Ms. Phyllis Foltz for everything that she do. I'm Earlene Gray, Chief Communications Officer, and I'm also a broker at a financial firm. If you like any information, 916-286-9423. And that's all I have for right now.
Back to you, Ms. Phyllis.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I was giving it right back to you.
Okay, well, I'll take it. Ms. LaVisha Jones, if you have one positive thing that you want to leave with the audience and the world, what would it be?
You know what? Your child matters. Be the change you want to see. There you go.
Absolutely.
And I had a gentleman, I really would like to hear a closing remark from him, the guy that called in. What was your name, sir? I'm sorry.
Patrick.
Yeah, Patrick. I would like to hear a closing remark from you, because you said something that made so much sense, you know, about the school system, that we have, you know, like we have to get back on the right track, you know, get some new stuff going.
Yeah, we have to get some new stuff going, but I think conversations like this help, and for people like that are on this line that are actually doing something is great. These conversations need to be ongoing. There needs to be innovation in education. And I know I'm all for that. Anything I can do to help. I'm in technology. I'm also, you know, a business consultant. I have a nonprofit that supports and helps black entrepreneurs and aspiring black entrepreneurs to build their business for free. We don't charge. So I use my professional experience to help them to build their business from the ground up. So from ideation all the way up to growth strategies once their business starts. So anything I can do to help anyone out there, you know, I'm not in education, but anything I can do to help support, I will do. And the name of the nonprofit is Masterminder. So it's the Minder.
I heard that before.
The Minder is spelled MYNDER, and our slogan is Mind Your Business. So,
all right.
Yeah, you can find that.
Okay, well, all right then. Well, we're gonna pass it on to Ms. Phyllis. Ms. Phyllis, you can go ahead on and close us out with a prayer.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for always allowing us to approach the throne. We certainly are appreciative for all of the gifts, and even through this unrest, we know that we are living in the last days. Please continue to give us the sense that we need to endure and to come to an accurate knowledge of who you are and to serve you the way you deserve to be served. And we would like to just thank you and pray for everybody who may be sick or families who suffer in death because of this pandemic, but it's said in your word, and the prophecy is coming true. Just help us to please get the veil off and draw close to you so that we can become your disciples. We ask all of this through your Son, our reigning King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And
I would like to ask God to please help Ms. LaVisha Jones to win what she is called to do. And with that said, I'm going to say good night to everybody.
Good night, and thank you.
Good night.